This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir, page by page, inshallah ta'ala. Today, we are on page 174, which is in the ninth juz of the Qur'an, Surah Al-A'raf. In the previous episode, we concluded the part of this surah that spoke over a number of passages and a number of verses about the story of the people of Bani Israel. And we then moved on to the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to each and every single one of us of the covenant and the pact that Allah Azza wa Jal took from each and every single one of us when we were still in the loins of our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah Azza wa Jal extracted humankind from his loins, and in the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, like grains of seed, and he spread them across, and then he questioned them as to who is their Lord worthy of worship alone. And every single person, me, you, our parents, our children, every human from the time of Adam alayhi salam to the very last person that will live before Yawm al-Qiyamah, we all responded and we testified to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, so that is that you may not then come, or lest you come on Yawm al-Qiyamah, claiming that you didn't know, claiming that you weren't aware, claiming that you only followed the footsteps and the ways of your ancestors who came before you. Today we continue from verse 179, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد ذرأنا لجهنم كثيرا من الجن والإنس لهم قلوب لا يفقهون بها ولهم أعين لا يبصرون بها ولهم أعين لا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل أولئك هم الغافلون. We have created many jinn and people who are destined for the fire, with hearts they do not use for comprehension, eyes they do not use for sight, ears that they do not use for hearing. They are like cattle, no even further astray. These are the ones who are entirely heedless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he speaks to us about the reality that we know that is established in the Quran and also in the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is that the vast majority of mankind will end up in the fire. The vast majority of the people, of the humans and the jinn, they will be from the inhabitants of the fire. And that is mentioned in a number of verses in the Quran. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Other similar verses that show that the vast majority of people, even those who claim to believe in Allah, are actually in fact committing shirk, and therefore they will be in the people from the people of the fire. And also it is mentioned in a number of hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such as the famous hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Azza wa Jalla will address Adam alayhi salatu wasalam on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and he will command him to take out the portion of the fire, akhrij ba'ath an-nar, the proportion of his children from his descendants who will go to the fire. And Adam alayhi salam will ask, oh Allah, what is that proportion? What is that percentage? What is that number that will go to the fire? And in one narration, from every 199, and in the other narration, from every 1,999. The meaning is one and the same, meaning that the vast majority of people will go into the fire. So from the time of Adam alayhi salam until Yawm al-Qiyamah, the vast majority of people are people who don't follow the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is the promise that we find in the Quran, as we've covered already now, the promise that Iblis gave or made, that he would misguide all of mankind except the sincere slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people of sincerity, those people of Iman and Tawheed, are the minority when it comes to the creation of humankind and the jinn. And that is What Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. We have created many jinn and people who are for the fire, meaning that they will become the fuel of the fire. They are destined to go into the fire. And that is because they didn't use the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to them in the way that they should have. They used those blessings in order to gain the dunya, in order to follow their desires, in order to follow the whisperings of shaitan. But they didn't use the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla in a way that would benefit them, both in this life and in the next. They didn't use it to connect with the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, connect with the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connect with the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning these people, describing them, how they misused those blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They had hearts that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to them, but they didn't use them for reflection, for comprehension, for contemplation. They didn't use them to look at the many things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed in the universe, in creation, in their own bodies, and then contemplate and reflect on that and how it links them back to Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. Nor did they use their eyes to really look and see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's the signs of the creation or the signs that we find within the Quran. They didn't use their eyes in a way that would benefit them. وَلَهُمْ أَذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. And likewise their hearing, their ears, they didn't use them to really listen to the words of Allah and the message of Allah and the verses being recited of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't use them in a way that would benefit them. And that is the difference, therefore, between the believer and the disbeliever. One of the core differences between the two is that one uses the senses that Allah gave to them through which they can experience and understand things. They use them to connect themselves back to Allah Azza wa Jal. Whereas the one who's misguided or heedless of this, the disbeliever, is someone who uses those same senses, but not to connect themselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but only to follow their desires. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. These people are like the cattle, in the sense that the cattle also have hearing, have sight, have the ability to do certain functions. They are like cattle in that regard. What is the difference between a human and between the cattle if they're not going to use those senses to elevate themselves morally, spiritually, in terms of their faith and iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, but rather, بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. They are even further astray than the Baha'im, than the cattle. And that is because the cattle at least do what they were created for. Allah created the cattle to do its function and to be as it is so that people can benefit from it in certain ways and so on. And that's what it does. It fulfills its function and it does it very well. And we use it and benefit from it and profit from it in many different ways. But the human wasn't created for that simple function of just living and eating and drinking and reproduction, but rather the human was created, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Humans and jinn were created for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. So when they're not even fulfilling that function, at least the animals fulfill their functions. But if you don't even fulfill the function for which you were created, and then you misuse and abuse the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla bestowed upon you, then you are further astray. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. These people are like cattle, rather they are further astray. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. And these are the ones who are entirely heedless. Heedless of the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, heedless of the reminders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, heedless of the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, heedless of everything that they should have been mindful of, that had they stopped and reflected and thought, they would have realized that their time on this life, it's limited, it's finite, it's for a purpose, and they're very quickly going towards the end point, which will then culminate in their standing before Allah Azza wa Jal and being held to account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 180, he then says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. The most excellent and beautiful names belong to Allah. Use them to call on Him and keep away from those who abuse them. They will be requited for that which they do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse the beauty of His names and the perfection of His names that we use to call upon Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that every single name of Allah Azza wa Jal, every single attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is beautiful, it is complete, it is perfect in every way and in every sense. And Allah Azza wa Jal, to Him belongs the most beautiful names. They are perfect in every way, they are complete in terms of their meaning, and they are things or names that we should use in order to worship Allah Azza wa Jal with. In our du'as, for example, but not only that, but in terms of our aqeedah and our belief, that when we understand the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we then understand Allah Azza wa Jal, and through that understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're able to worship Him better. And that is why it is one of the most common things, or one of the most common themes in the Quran, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because through those names of Allah Azza wa Jal, you increase in knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you know that Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Ghafoor, Allah is Al-Rahim, Allah is Al-Kareem, Allah is Al-Aleem, Allah is Al-Sami' Al-Basir, Allah is forgiving, Allah is kind, Allah is merciful, Allah is generous, Allah is also all-hearing, all-seeing, all-knowing, Allah is all-wise, Allah Azza wa Jal is also severe in His punishment. These names, these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they allow you to understand and have better knowledge of the one that is calling upon you to worship Him alone, Jalla fi'ula. And through that knowledge, you increase. You increase in iman, you increase in knowledge and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you increase in ibadah. And so you know that Allah is forgiving, so you're more likely therefore to make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal. You know that Allah is al-Razzaq, the provider, al-Wahhab, the one who bestows. So you're more likely to ask of Allah and make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. You know that Allah Azza wa Jal is someone who's severe in His punishment, someone who can become angry, and one that can become angry, one that is severe in His punishment, swift to hold people to account. And so therefore you have divine fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. You fear Allah's punishment, you fear Allah's wrath and His anger, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you call Allah Azza wa Jal, فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Use the names of Allah to call upon Him. Call upon Him in terms of the knowledge that you have of them, in terms of the worship that you do, in terms of the du'as that you make. And so you use those names to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. As is mentioned in the famous hadith of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Allah Azza wa Jal, to Him belongs 99 names, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whosoever encompasses them, understands them comprehensively, then they will enter into Jannah. Because if you live in accordance with those names of Allah Azza wa Jal, then you cannot do anything except worship Allah Azza wa Jal, believe in Allah alone, do as Allah commands, stay away from that which Allah Azza wa Jal prohibits. وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, and stay away, or do not be, from those who abuse the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Ilhad is to reject them, or to abuse them, as is mentioned by the translator here, or to distort them in one way or another. Either, for example, by giving those names of Allah to the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, giving those attributes of Allah to His creation, those names to His creation, as, for example, some of the mushrikeen used to do, when they would name their gods names that belong to Allah Azza wa Jal, like Al-Uzza and Al-Lat, and these types of names that they would take from the attributes of Allah, and they would place that upon their idols. Or by worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, giving those attributes to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not just the name, but it's the power, the ability to other than Allah. This thing provides for me. This thing can control life and death. This thing can do this and that. And so you're giving what are the attributes of Allah alone to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when those attributes and names have a dual purpose, meaning that they can be used for Allah and used for the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal also, for example, forgiveness, that's a human trait as well, but it's also something which Allah uses to describe Himself, forgiveness and mercy and kindness and gentleness and hearing and seeing. These are attributes that you have in the creation, but Allah Azza wa Jal also uses them to describe Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the difference between them is plain. For humans, it is always in a limited human way. It is always restricted by human nature and by human restrictions. And it is done like the way we see and the way we hear, it's restricted. But when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, it is perfect and complete in every single way. And there is no deficiency in it. There is no deficiency in it. So يُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Those people who distort and abuse and reject the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will be the ones requited for that which they do. And so, for example, as we know in some of the narrations in the books of Sirah, the Quraysh said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're not familiar with this name, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, in the best manner, Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. We don't know who that refers to. We only know the name Allah. This is a type of rejection of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. And similar to it is what unfortunately many Muslims fall into today when they reject or distort some of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. When they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have certain attributes that He describes Himself with, doesn't have certain names in that sense that He describes Himself with, or that they are simple tags or labels that don't have any meaning that is associated with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 181, وَمِمَّنْ خَلَقَنَا أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ. Amongst those we created are a group of people who guide with truth and they act justly according to it. Meaning that from those people that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed upon this earth, because Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the majority. Who are the majority? The people of the fire, as we mentioned at the beginning of this episode. They will be the people destined for the fire. But also from that which Allah Azza wa Jal has created, from those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, are those people who are upon the truth. And they guide with the truth. And they call to the truth. And they act according to the truth. And those are the people of Islam. Those are the people who follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the previous nations, those who followed their respective prophets that Allah azza wa jal sent to them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these people. And what is interesting here is the description that they're given. The caveat that is placed in their description, and that is يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ. They are people who guide with the truth, and the haqq is that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed. The revelation of Allah, either in the Quran or in the form of the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the haqq, that is the truth. So these are people who, when they speak, when they act, when they call, when they preach, when they command the good or they forbid the evil, they do so with the truth and by the truth. And they apply it in their lives as well. These are the people that Allah Azza wa Jal has praised and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor in this life and in the next. Allah Azza wa Jal then says in verse 182, وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But we lead on those who reject our messages, step by step without them realizing it. At-tadarruj, what is being mentioned here, at-tadarruj is to do something gradually, step by step. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those people who reject Allah, they reject the message of Allah, they reject the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they reject the Quran, it is from the sunnah of Allah, from the way that Allah azza wa jal deals with these people, that He allows them to fall into their misguidance step by step, meaning that they fall further and further into evil, into oppression, into shirk, into the way that they obstruct others from the path of Allah azza wa jal. It is done by tadarruj. And that's something which you see clearly in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the moment the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to call to Allah azza wa jal, they reject him. But that rejection over time becomes more severe. It becomes more violent. It becomes more reprehensible over time. They don't stand up the first time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them to Allah and kill him immediately. They don't start off with murder and with that type of torture and evil. But it is something which over time it builds and it becomes worse and worse. And we've seen examples of this also, especially in this surah, Surah Al-A'raf, in the story of Musa and Pharaoh. How Pharaoh dealt with Musa alayhi salam and with Bani Israel, over time it becomes more and more evil, until at the very end he's determined just to simply wipe them from the face of the earth. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We will give them, or we will lead them on step by step. They are led on step by step in terms of the evil that they're doing, but also as some of the scholars of tafsir mentioned, that Allah Azza wa Jal also allows them to continue on that by continuing to provide for them. So Allah Azza wa Jal will give them the dunya, He will give them wealth, He will give them power, He'll give them prestige and influence, and they think that as a result that what they're doing is actually good, that they're actually achieving something, that they're being successful. And it is success in the parameters that of their understanding. It is success according to what they consider and deem to be success, but in the parameters set by Allah Azza wa Jal, in the scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not success. And that is why it is important to understand this point, that just because you may see the enemies of Islam having the dunya, doesn't mean that they have achieved success. Doesn't mean that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with them. And just because you see the people of Iman often being poor and weak and oppressed, doesn't mean that Allah has forsaken them, or that Allah doesn't love them, or they're not upon good. Because those are worldly parameters that we use to judge these things. But in the Quran and the Sunnah, we know that the true parameter is a person's taqwa, is Allah's love for them, is the reward of the Akhirah. This is the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla judges things, as opposed to the way that humans judge them in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues in verse 183, and he says, وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. I will give them respite, but my plan is sure. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jalla will give them respite, meaning that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives them time. Allah doesn't punish them immediately. Allah doesn't destroy them immediately. But rather they're given time. And through that time they increase in their evil. So when Musa alayhi salam comes with his message to Pharaoh and Pharaoh rejects him, Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't punish Pharaoh straight away, gives him time. It's probably a number of years before that incident when he's drowned. And likewise with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Quraysh, his enemies were not just dealt with immediately. In fact, the first major time that they're dealt with is probably the Battle of Badr. That's like 14, 15 years after the first coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger of Allah. So Allah azza wa jal gives them time and he gives them respite to see how they will act, and so that they cannot claim that they weren't given the opportunity to change their ways on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 184, أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا مَا بِصَاحِبِهِمْ مِنْ جِنَّةٍ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. Will they not think their companion is not mad, but it is rather he is someone who is giving a clear warning? Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, will they not think and not realize that this man who's come to them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, isn't crazy? They know him. They know his background, they know his history, they know him from when he was a child, they know his reality, and that is not a person who's crazy or mad or a liar or a fabricator. Will they not reflect upon this? Rather, he is a clear caller to Allah Azza wa Jalla, a clear warner. And that is because the Quraysh knew deep down that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't all of those labels that they used to place upon him, that they used to accuse him of. He wasn't a crazy man, he wasn't a poet, he wasn't a madman, he wasn't a liar, he wasn't a fabricator, he wasn't a sorcerer or a fortune teller. All of those things that they used to claim about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they stopped and they thought about it and they were honest with themselves, they would know its reality. And that is why, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions at the beginning of the verses that we covered today, they don't use their hearts to contemplate, they don't use their ears and their eyes in the way that they should. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues in verse 185 when he says, أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْ عَسَى أَنْ يَكُونَ قَدْ اقْتَرَبَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Have they not contemplated the realm of the heavens and the earth, and all that Allah has created? And at the end of their time, and that the end of their time might be near, what other revelation will they believe in if they do not believe in this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, likewise, just as they don't think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and reflect upon him and who he is and what he's calling to, then likewise, don't they look, don't they contemplate, don't they think about the malakut as-samawat wal-ard, the realm and the beauty and the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, وَمَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, and everything that Allah has created within it, everything that they can see, everything that they can hear, everything that they've been told of and made aware of. وَنَعَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ قَدْ اقْتَرَبَ أَجَلُهُمْ, and that perhaps their time is close to end. Perhaps يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ is fast coming upon them. فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. What will they believe in then if they do not believe in this? If a person was to stop and reflect on these issues and really think about them, they would come to that conclusion that Allah Azza wa Jal alone is worthy of worship, that our time upon this life is limited, that there will be another life that is permanent, and that it is something which is everlasting. And therefore to prepare for that is something which a person should do in order for themselves to be given salvation. But those who don't do so, those who stay away from this or are heedless of this, then what hope is there for them? And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse 186, مَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَيَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. No one can guide those whom Allah allows to stray. He leaves them blundering about in their insolence. If they turn away, they don't use their hearts, their ears, their senses, their eyes, and they turn away from the messages and the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His warnings and His reminders, then there is none that can guide them. There is no one that can help them. There is no one that can aid them. وَيَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. But rather they will be left to go astray in their insolence, in their oppression, in the evil that they have chosen for themselves. In the last verse that we will take in today's episode, verse 187, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقَتِهَا إِلَّا هُوَ ثَقُلَتْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا تَأْتِيكُمْ إِلَّا بَغْتَهُ يَسْأَلُونَكَ كَأَنَّكَ حَفِيٌّ عَنْهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They ask you about the hour, when will it happen? Say, my Lord alone has the knowledge of it. He alone will reveal when its time will come, a time that is momentous in both the heavens and the earth. All too suddenly it will come upon you. They ask you about it as if you were eager to find out. Say, Allah alone has knowledge of when it will come, though most people do not realize it. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they ask you concerning Yawm Al-Qiyamah, the hour, when will it strike? When is its exact time? Say to them that only Allah knows this. This is from the knowledge of the unseen that Allah gave to no one. Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'ah. To Allah belongs the knowledge of the hour alone. Allah has given us signs to show that it's coming closer, minor signs, major signs, but the exact time of its striking, that is only knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla alone has. لا يجليها لوقتها إلا هو. He alone will reveal when its time will come. ثقلت في السماوات والأرض. It is a momentous time that is heavy in the heavens and the earth. لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة. It will only come upon you suddenly. And that is why when the Bedouin man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, مات الساعة, when is the hour? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, وما أعددت لها. What have you prepared for it? That's the real question. You don't know when it will be and when it will strike. But not only that, but there is a lesser Yawm Al-Qiyamah, a lesser day of judgment and reckoning that will strike most of us, because the vast majority of people will not be alive on the day of Yawm Al-Qiyamah when its time will come and that trumpet will be blown. The vast majority of humankind and the jinn will already have died before then. So for each and every single person, the time of death is also their Qiyamah in that sense. In the sense that they've left this world, there's no more action that they can perform, no more iman that they can increase in. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to prepare for that time as opposed to being worried about when it will be. And so the believer is more worried about when death can strike, when that moment will come, as opposed to trying to determine exactly when Yawm Al-Qiyamah will occur. يَسْأَلُونَكَ كَأَنَّكَ حَفِيٌّ عَنْهَا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they ask you as if you are eager to find out, or as if you are the one who is in charge of this, so that you have this knowledge. And that isn't something which was given neither to any prophet, nor to any angel, nor to any righteous person or scholar. It is knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla has alone, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this verse by saying, قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Say that its knowledge is with Allah alone. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But the vast majority of people do not know. And inshallah ta'ala, with that we come to the end of today's episode. بارك الله فيكم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.